no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter when the sun's shining down, help us to bless you no matter what, no matter when the storm comes and the clouds arise and everything goes wrong. Help us remember to bless you just like Job did. That's where this song comes from, in the book of Job. He blessed God in spite of the fact that in one day, Satan came and took every single thing away from him. He lost his children, were all killed, and all his possessions in one day. And he said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Should I sin by blaming God? Should I sin by blaming God? By speaking against him, blaming him for my problems? So Lord, we ask that you give us that same grace that you gave to Job, to be faithful in the midst of suffering. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful no matter what life throws at us. We just want to be faithful. We want to be on fire for you in the good times and in the bad times. And I pray, Father, that sometimes we can be running after God when everything's going wrong, but when things start going right, we forget about him. That we stay faithful to you even when things go wonderful. That we continue to love you and honor you and worship you when everything's going right. We've seen it through the years. People come desperate in need, and God meets them, he heals them, he blesses them, and then they go off and they leave. They don't come back because they get busy enjoying the blessings that God's given them and they forget about him. Let us never do that, Lord. When you bless us, let's run to you to worship you and thank you for those blessings. Job stayed faithful when he lost everything, and then when he got back double that was taken from him, continued to be faithful to God till God brought him home to heaven years and years and years later. We want to be like that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, this mic. I want to read from James this morning, because one of the things that we all encounter in life is suffering, excuse me, difficulties come up in all of our lives. And we follow Jesus. And what was Jesus? Jesus was a suffering servant. You know, we want to follow Jesus. One of the things we know that we follow him, that one of the things that come into our lives is suffering. None of us are exempt from it. It says here, which is probably one of my least favorite scriptures. If you have a least favorite scripture, this is probably mine. It's James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. You would strengthen us, strengthen our resolve to follow you no matter what, and transform us through the different sufferings we've all gone through and are going through and will go through. And give us that grace to persevere, to stay close to you and not to blame you, to learn what you want us to learn through everything that comes into our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? I had a vision this morning. And what I saw was, I saw us on a roller coaster ride. And God began to speak to me that life is like a roller coaster ride. And that we can go through life like we're riding a roller coaster different ways, depending on our level of faith and our level of commitment to God and our level of trust in God. We can go through life different. Each one of us can go through it different. And what I saw myself like a little child riding in this roller coaster with my arms in the air, just laughing and having a wonderful time. And I wasn't afraid that I was going to fall out of this cart, this roller coaster, because I knew I was securely belted in. But then he began to show me all the way down different cars and different people in different roller coaster cars, you know. And some were hanging on to the bar there. And that was the what if bar, you know. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if? What if? And they weren't enjoying this ride at all. Okay, they were not enjoying the ride of their life because they were what-ifing their way through it. Well, what if this happens and what if that happens? And what if this goes off the rails? And what if it starts raining and lightning hits us? You know, they were just what-ifing all the way. And God doesn't want us to go through life, what if this, what if this, what if that? He wants us to go through life secure in his love for us, secure in how he will get us through whatever, ups and downs, huh? To enjoy the ride of our life because he's in control. But not to go through life, what if? We can also go through life, I saw like the person behind was screaming, ah! They really enjoyed this ride. And then the person in front was, oh, this is so noisy, this screaming, and we're upset with the person behind them and angry with this person and angry with that person. And so we can go through life like that, consumed by anger, consumed by criticism and judgment of the people in this roller coaster ride with us. Okay? And God's saying, if you keep your eyes on me, and you know, this is a picture like this, go through your roller coaster of life like this, with your eyes on me, loving me, worshiping me, and not on all these people around you that are going through their roller coaster ride, probably not so great. You know? Don't keep your eyes on them, because that's going to remove all the joy from you. You're not going to enjoy the ride of your life. Right? When we get caught up in the flaws and the faults, the failings of the people that are going through life with us, that's going to rob us of our joy and of our peace. I'll show you this in Philippians 4. Thank you, Jesus. We just love you, Lord. Okay, thank you, God. Holy Spirit's just wonderful, isn't he? Huh? He says here, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What God is saying is don't let your mind go where it wants to go. Okay, our mind's going to want to go wherever it wants to go. And it can go in a critical vein, or it can go a what if fearful vein, or it can go in a blaming vein. Why'd you do this to me, God? Why'd you let that happen, God? A lack of trust, a lack of faith, angry. You know, our mind can go every which way. But we got to take control of our thoughts. Actively make ourselves think good thoughts. How in the world do you do that? You know, because this thing wants to go every which way. It's you fuel it with the Word of God. You discipline yourself by making yourself declare what's positive and what's right in a situation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can make it through this. Far greater is he that's for me than he that's against me. And if we can do that, if we can hold fast to the promises of God, we're not going to be what if, what if, what if, what if. No. Far greater is he that's for me than he that's against me. God has good plan for me, not evil. These are the things we need to feed this. Because if we don't, the enemy's right there to whisper, what if? What if you fall off the rails? What if you crash and burn? Huh? What if the house doesn't sell and you're left with this big mortgage? Huh? Let's bring it down to reality, right? What if? What if you can't sell it for what you think you can sell it for? Huh? What if you rent your house and the people don't pay? Right? Those are what ifs. Those are reality. Reality. What if? Huh? What if something happens to my spouse? Hmm? What if something happens to me? So we can go, are we going to enjoy the ride of our life? No. And I'm going to tell you, the times that I've what-ifed it, and we've all what-ifed it, those, none of those what-ifs happened. Isn't that right? How many things are, how many times are the fears that have crept in on us ever really happened, those things that we feared? Hmm? It says in Job, though, that which I feared came upon me. We give the enemy an incredible weapon to use against us. With fear. We can give the enemy the key to our life by fearing. Fear is it's an insidious enemy that'll creep up on us. We've got to keep fear away from our thoughts. Okay? We've got to keep it away. We've got to keep it away. One of the things that really impressed me as I've been studying Job is that it says in the very first chapter, how Job made it a regular custom to offer sacrifices for his children because he was afraid that they would have parties. They would have these feasts, the 10 kids, 3 daughters and his 7 sons. And when they would have these feasts, Job would be afraid that their kids, while they were drinking, might curse God in the midst of this. And so after they finished their feast, he'd get them together and he would offer sacrifice to God just in case they did that. And so then the story goes on how Satan presents himself before God. And God says, have you seen my servant Job? There's nobody like him. He's blameless. He's pure. He's righteous. God was like saying, he's perfect. He didn't say that, but kind of that's what he was saying. And Satan says, yeah, well, you put a hedge around him. He's got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. He's your guy. But take that hedge away. Let me at him. And he'll curse you to your face, God. He only loves you because of what you've done for him. What he was saying, he was telling God, you are not worthy to be loved, God. He only loves you because of what you've done for him. That's what Satan was saying. And so God said, don't touch his body. But you know, as I read this and studied this, I saw that God removed the hedge. But Satan needed some legal right to come after Job. You see? And the legal right that Job gave Satan was fearing that his kids would sin against God. And then we continue to read and we see how his older son had a party and a feast and had all the kids there at it. And destruction went. Every single thing that Job, Satan launched his attack, everything he owned, and then his kids were all killed. And what does Job say a chapter or two later? That which I feared came upon me. My kids cursed God. The door opened. They cursed God, and now the attack ensued. He gave the devil the right through fear to come in and do exactly what he was fearing. Whatever we have faith in, that's what we receive. If we have faith that God, if God be for me, who can be against me? My God is a wall of fire around me. God will be that wall of fire. Nobody's perfect. Job wasn't even perfect, but he was so protected because he abided under the shelter of the Most High. Read Psalm 91. Okay, what happens to those who abide under the shelter of the Most High? Nothing touches them. No plague can come near them. No disaster can touch them. And that's where Job was. He abided under the presence of God. He was intimate with God. He loved God. He walked with God. God was his best friend. And so he had this shield all around him so that if he messed up, and Job messed up by fearing, not a big sin, but still, legal access. Fear can give the enemy legal access. But Job lived with God. He walked with God. He talked with God. He spent time with God. And so he had this shield all around him. So even with that, Satan couldn't find it. He couldn't see it because God shielded him. How many want that kind of protection? Me, I do, because you know what? I can mess up every day and I'll give the devil legal right. We can all mess up. But if we abide, let me read Psalm 91, a little bit of it. If we abide under the shelter of the Most High, if we spend time with God, and he's our God, and we're his friend. Psalm 91, starting in 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You see? That's the relationship God wants us to have. So that when we stumble with fear, unbelief, we all do. We all do. Watch the news and then try to keep fear from you. Last night, appears to be a terrorist attack in New York City. And earlier in the day in New Jersey, they thwarted it. With the Marines were going to have a race, and they found a bomb in the garbage, and it stopped it before the race. Race was delayed. But last night, a bomb went off. You watch stuff like that and then keep fear from you. Keep fear from your loved ones from you. You have to battle it. You have to battle it. You have to go to war. You have to, if God before me, who and what can be against me? My God is great. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. His love covers a multitude of sins. Make those declarations. Whatever the Holy Spirit, you begin to proclaim the word of God. Declare, as for me and mine, like Joshua declared, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. My kids won't go astray. My kids will follow God. I'm not going to be afraid that my kids will lose their salvation or my kids are going to go this way or that way. As for me and mine, they will serve the Lord. Okay? We've got to make declarations of faith, declarations of the Word of God, to feed our minds so that we don't focus on the negative and we don't allow fear come near us. And this is, read Psalm 91. You meditate on Psalm 91. That fuels faith. Okay? That fuels faith. And it also fuels that passion and that desire to get apart with God, to dwell with him. It doesn't say he who visits God once in a while. These are the promises they have. But he who dwells, who walks with him, who talks to him, who spends time with God every day, every day. When you dwell with somebody, you live with them. Billy dwells with us. We see him all the time. We got to have that kind of relationship. If we do, he says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, terrorist attacks, or any kind of terror, heart attack in the middle of the night, hit by a tornado, whatever. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Why? Because it's a shield around you. He becomes a wall of fire around you. And no fiery dart of the enemy can touch you. He keeps you hidden. And one of the things he hides is your flaws and your faults. Because we all got them. We would be constantly beat up day and night because the devil has legal access. He'll show us. God is so awesome. He will show us where the enemy, if we spend time with him, has a legal access to us. So yeah, that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to convict us of sin, to show us this is here. Why? So we'll feel guilty? No! So we confess it and get it under the blood so there's no legal access, no legal right. So the minute you feel some conviction, don't justify yourselves. That's one of the worst things I think that Christians do, is we justify our faults and our failings and our sin. Well, if they didn't do that, then I wouldn't have done that. I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be upset. We could justify ourselves. And just instead of humbling ourselves and saying, God, I sinned. I sinned. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We see in this, the story of Job, his friends that were attacking him and criticizing him and telling him he sinned or this wouldn't happen to him, blaming him, how they had to repent of their sins, and then when Job prayed for them, they were forgiven and they were restored. You see, God is always into restoring. But we have to take that first step like we did last week and let God show us if there's any way the enemy has any right to us. That we confess them, not in shame or fear, but just in just humility. God, I messed up. I am sorry. Forgive me. Right away. And I put that under the blood of Jesus. Go on. Don't beat yourself up about it. Oh, I was critical. Oh, I was angry. I'll give you an example. We've been going through an intensive warfare at Hastings this last week. And I've been praying for God to show, you know, if he wants us to do something different there, because it's such a move of God going on there, that one of the staff came to see us Tuesday night outside and said, you know, he said, I wish you would, basically was saying you shouldn't bring the brown sugar bars because now I have 30 kids wanting to come to church in the dorm, just in one dorm, and I can only pick 8. Because the ratio of staff to kids is 8-1, and they only have 1 staff to bring them. And then the other dorms got their 8, so they'll bring me 16. It's not the brown sugar boss. It's the presence of God. These kids are so hungry. So I got kids kicking the door, because then they lock them in their cells, you know, and the kids are kicking their doors, yelling, I want to go to church. So, so I just know what it is. It's God. Isn't that sad? That's 30 on that door. That's not the 30 on the other door. So what is God saying through this? We got to minister to those other kids. We got to find a way for that to happen. And so there's this all this disruption, and they're coming in and making us end the service early, and they're just, it's an attack. Same thing happened yesterday. The lights kept flickering off. So in here in the middle of the service, the staff calls me over and says, we got to take the kids back to the dorm because the power keeps going out. So we're not even halfway done. And we ended up, you know, they said you can give them the ice cream, but then the light stopped flickering, gave them the ice cream, and then was able to lead them all through deliverance. But they only gave me 5 minutes to do that. We should have been done by 4:30. So instead of giving us the kids at 2:00 like they're supposed to, they didn't bring it to us until 2:45, and they want me to finish by 4:00. But now they were even wanted to shorten it up because the lights are flickering. So this is the enemy at work. All right. So getting back to confessing our sins, I was a little aggravated. So the Lord showed me that I needed to forgive the staff and repent for being angry, because I was aggravated that they did that to me. You see? So do we all have to battle with these different things that come up in our life. It can be in ministry. Here I am going out to minister and clock. Satan, beware of your enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Be alert. Be alert. Keep your eyes open. He's going to use every little trick in the book to try to trip you up. Why? So we can get some authority and come in and beat you up and attack you. He wants to come and rob, steal, and kill, but he's got to have the right to do it. So he tries to trip us up so we can get the right to do it. And one of the things he'll do is try to pull us away from that intimate fellowship with God and that love walk with God. So now we don't have the shield of fire around us and every little flaw is exposed. You see? And now he's got the right to come in. What's he going to do? Wreck us. Mess us up. break our vehicles, I mean, name it. Name the things he does. Make us sick. Let us have a fight with somebody. Try to just wreck our finances. Whatever way he can. So what do we got to learn from this? We have to learn to abide under the shelter of the Most High. Spend time, quality time, every day with the Lord. Get in the Word. Hear what God is saying to you. Let him speak to you. Because as you're reading the Word, he'll expose some stuff that we need to deal with. Okay? As you're reading it, like, I was just alone with him. I wasn't even reading the Word, and the Lord showed me. Watch it. Forgive. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I'm always preaching on forgiveness, but when somebody makes you mad, last thing you think of. See? But the Holy Spirit, he keeps us holy. That's his job, to keep us holy. So he'll say, right there, oh, I didn't justify myself. I have to say that. I didn't say, well, I have a right to be mad. Look what they did to me. No. I'm trying to save souls for God, and they're stopping it. No. God, I'm sorry. I forgive them. I bless them. I bless every single one that's been giving me a hard time. I bless them, God. Because I know I want that wall of fire around me, and I don't want to get attacked. Because that's not a pretty place to be in when the devil's got the right, the legal right, to come in and mess you up. Okay? So what do we have to do? We have to spend time. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Be in the Word. If he shows us anything, quickly repent for it. Get it under the blood of Jesus. Easy. It's really easy. But we have to remember it. We have to remember it. And don't go on a witch hunt for yourself and say, well, have I done this? Have I done that? The Holy Spirit is wonderful. He will show us those things that haven't been repented for, that will give the enemy legal ground. And just the minute you think of it, you can be riding in the car right away. Don't wait till you get home. You might forget. We forget a lot of times at our age. Right away, I'm sorry. God's right there with us. I repent for that. I'm sorry. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Okay? And then we can go boldly to the throne of grace and mercy. We can go boldly to God and get those things we need. Then I can go with authority and say, God, turn this thing around. Help this whole situation at Hastings to turn around. It's like a whole new spirit is in that place. The one that's in charge is not there anymore, and he was the one we had such favor with. And so it's just like under such a serious assault. So what do we have to do? We have to make sure that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, avails much. We got to stay righteous. We got to stay in right standing with God, so that we can confess those things, get them washed into the blood. Now we can go to the throne of God and say, okay, this situation that I'm getting attacked in, God, please, can you straighten this out? Please get my car fixed. Please help us sell our house. You know, we can go to God. Help us with this ministry to get these boys all ministered to every week. Help us, Lord God, with this. Okay? What's the devil doing? Can't do anything. Got no right. Everything is legal access with him. All right? Not that he goes by, if he can find a way to twist the law, he certainly does against us. But if we've got the legal right and the legal access, we can go boldly to the throne of God and get those things that we need to get. All right? Let's all stand. We're just going to worship. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray for the offering. And...